Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome to an adventure in history. We're so glad to have you join us tonight. And I'm glad because I get to talk about books.
We are a fan of libraries anywhere, any place.
Yes. I'm a member of two public libraries. Well, actually, maybe I'm a member of three or four because I'm a member of Warrenton. Mm-hmm. So does that make, am I technically a member then of Seaside and Astoria?
Yeah, technically. So we're part of a cooperative.
Right.
With the loaning, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Deschutes Public Library, because I vacation so much in Sun River, we got a library card at the Deschutes Public Library, and which is amazing.
Were they troublesome about it since you didn't live there?
Not at all. Libraries are amazing places.
Yeah, wow. Agreed.
So if you haven't guessed, and Jennifer, will you tell me how to say your last name? I should have asked you this before we went on the air.
Absolutely. So it is spelled like reading,
which
is an appropriate last name for a librarian, but it is pronounced Reading, like Reading, England, and Reading, Pennsylvania, and Reading Railroad from Monopoly.
So. Reading Railroad.
I have just, my brain is just exploded because I've spent my entire life saying the Reading Railroad.
Oh, Mac.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
I lived in Pennsylvania.
Okay, so you did know.
So I know the correct part. But we were all hoping you were pronounced Reading just because we thought that was perfect.
I do answer to both. It's fine.
But Jennifer is the director of the Seaside Public Library. So thank you for joining us. We love our libraries and all of our librarians.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So this is going to be a great show. So
it
we
is.
Should get right to it.
So first of all, my word.
Your word.
Flapdoodle.
You've had a couple of good ones in a row here. Okay, is it a noun or is it a verb?
It's a noun.
A flapdoodle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I always guess first so that you can appear far smarter than I am when I'm way off. A flapdoodle, I think that is something on your car or your buggy when it gets loose and you've got to like tie it down.
Nope, not at all.
I think it's one of the new generations of the breeds of dogs where you breed a flappy with a poodle.
With the dude.
Yes.
That's a great guess, too.
Nope, you're wrong. It's a foolish and blatantly false ideas or words.
A flapdoodle.
Yes.
Libraries are boring places.
So, well,
there's a flapdoodle.
Correct. I was saying if you are wanting to check to see if something is a flapdoodle, you just need to go to your local library.
Ah, that's a better one than mine.
Yes.
But flapdoodle, that's a good word to say, too.
Yeah, flapdoodle.
I like that one. All right, so we get right to the
things
the
that
big,
happened. Yes.
The big history highlights. This was a tough day. I didn't have a ton of things, and I actually was about to declare no history highlight that had the most impact. But if I'm reading a list, something has to have the most impact. So that's a little teaser. But on this day, April 22nd, 1778, John Paul Jones leads the American raid on Whitehaven, England. And we've talked about this on the air one time.
Okay.
It was kind of fun. We're not going to revisit it, though. 1793, they can listen to the podcast. 1793, President Washington attends the opening of Ricketts, the first circus in the U.S.
And it was called Ricketts?
Ricketts. Isn't that terrible?
That is terrible.
It is.
That's an awful name.
No wonder we don't remember that. P.T. Barnum, Barnum Bailey, we hear all that, but not Ricketts. And we say that, and there's probably still a Ricketts circus or somewhere traveling. And they're like, we're the
just
longest serving.
Yeah.
That would be funny. 1886, seduction is made illegal in Ohio.
I saw that.
So Ohio passes.
Yes. I was going to say, I did have to look to see what that meant because I was like, seduction?
I had to read more too.
Yes.
And actually,
it makes sense.
It does make sense. It's not as funny as I had hoped it would be when I clicked on it. So, because I like the idea of just flat out seduction is made illegal. Ohio passes a statute that makes seduction unlawful, covering all men over the age of 18 who worked as teachers or instructors of women.
Yep.
This law even prohibited men from having consensual sex with women of any age whom they were instructing. The penalty for disobeying this law ranged from 2 to 10 years in prison. Actually, a pretty good law.
It is, and especially the times. I mean, say the time again.
1886.
Right. I mean, that's earlier than I would have assumed.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I didn't check is why. What predicated, what led to this? Was there some scandalous guy that was grooming and, you know.
And is it still on the books?
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. 1889, Oklahoma land rush begins.
Okay.
Oklahoma's not okay. It says it on their license plates that they're okay.
Yes.
Not as much fun as picking on as Florida, but I like picking on Oklahoma too. We're going to find out that our guest was born and loves Oklahoma or something. But
no, she's
I will own it. If somebody loves Oklahoma and they want to challenge me, I will own that. 1915, Germans introduced poison gas into warfare.
I saw that. That's horrible. Yeah.
And some of those pictures of those poor guys, it's horrible.
Right.
Horrible warfare. 1970, the first Earth Day.
That's a good one. Go plant a tree.
I was thinking about making that the history highlight of the day. Mm-hmm. And I will take an argument that I was wrong. 1978, the Blues Brothers make their world premiere on Saturday Night Live.
That's fun. I like that.
I think I saw that one.
Oh, nice.
Oh. Were you an early Saturday Night Live fan?
Very much so.
Oh,
I'm from New York City, so yeah.
See, oh, New York City. We got to talk about that, too. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge fan of the early Saturday Night Live. I have to admit. Yeah, all right. You can all glare at me. That's okay. 1994, former President Richard Nixon dies. Oh, okay. But our history highlight of the day thing, I think, had the most impact on history, and I will entertain Earth Day being more important. 1876, the first National League baseball game is played. Baseball, kind of, you know, apple pie, America.
Pastime.
Yeah, the Boston Red Caps beat the Philadelphia Athletics 6-5.
I will definitely say financially, baseball has had a bigger impact on the United States and internationally than Earth Day.
Yes.
We're getting there, though. We're making up for lost time.
I would want Earth Day to have the most impact, but I don't believe it has.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah, the commercial value there is a little lower.
Yeah.
But
I'm interested that you go to commercial value.
Well, isn't that often how we determine whether or not? That's true. Yeah.
Social, things that change society.
That's true.
All right, but things that change society and things that have an impact are libraries.
Yes, and our guest, Jennifer Redding, the executive director of the Seaside Public Library. So glad you're here with us tonight. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell us, let's just get started. You said you've been with the library for a year.
Yeah, it'll be 1 year on May 13th.
And what brought you here?
Well, gosh, I wanted to walk on the beach every day. And I was living in Colorado at the time. I lived in Colorado for about 28 years. And Colorado it's an amazing state. It has everything. But you know what it doesn't have? An ocean.
Landlocked.
It's very much landlocked. You can drive for 5 hours and still just, you sort of get out of Colorado. And yeah, I needed beach in my life. So I set my sights. I sort of put it out to the universe, actually. I was caring for a friend who was unfortunately dying of cancer. And I thought, what do I want to do with my life? And I was really loving what I was doing. But I thought, I think I want to walk on the beach every day. And I think I want to be the director of a small library. And then those two things came together in the form of the Seaside Public Library. And I threw my name in the hat and I flew out March 15th and I interviewed. So I just celebrated that 1 year anniversary, which was pretty fun. Yeah, and thankfully they liked me, and I liked them, and the rest is history, I guess.
So I always have to ask, as somebody who also came to Oregon, mm-hmm. had you ever visited Oregon before?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So I like to say I did 2 years in Walla Walla, but that sounds kind of questionable since there is the state penitentiary there. But I did work at the Walla Walla Public Library for 2 years between 2016 and 2018, and during that time I spent a lot of time coming out to the coast. And I have stayed in Seaside before. I've sad to say that I always just drove through Astoria on my way to the beach. Mm-hmm. But now that's where I call home. I bought a home in Astoria. And I work in Seaside and I live in Astoria. So I get the best of both worlds, I think.
And I thought there's a strange rule because who's your neighbor?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, my neighbor is the library director of the Astoria Public Library. So
we love, yes.
That just cracks me up. Okay, but we got to back up here
because
before you get to Colorado, and I do want to ask a little bit about Colorado, you grew up in?
In New York City. Yeah, I was born in New Jersey. And
which exit?
I guess it would be technically 9, exit 9.
Wow.
Only people from New Jersey get the humor of that.
And again, you know, having a last name of Redding growing up, and living so close to Pennsylvania, there were still folks who believed it was Reading Railroad. And so I got into some little scuffles as a child, playing Monopoly over at a friend's house. And and my kids also now know that I have to buy Reading Railroad. And if they don't let me have Reading Railroad, I flipped the board. So,
any relation to the Reading Railroad?
I really doubt it. Okay. But I did have, I think, an uncle and maybe a distant cousin on my dad's side. And obviously, Reading is from my dad's side. They worked for the railroads. So they were conductors.
Okay.
Ooh, and fun side fact. I know I'm jumping around.
That's what we're all about.
I threw my name in the hat to learn how to be a trolley driver for this summer.
Nice. So I'm
hoping that I'll get called for my training soon, and then I'll actually get to wear like the official hat and a vest and
excellent
tell stories. Mm-hmm.
So how long did you live in New York City?
Let's see. I moved there when I was in third grade. So I could date myself at this point. It was probably like 1975, 1976, and I lived there through high school.
Okay.
So I never lived there as an adult because I think you need a big bag of self-replenishing money to live in New York City. and we didn't have that. So yeah, it was quite the experience.
And what are your thoughts? I mean, have you visited New York City since then? Are you glad you're away? Is it a nice place to visit occasionally, or gosh, I miss it?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I do think about it every day. I mean, I think of it as like the city. I know other people would fight me on that. But it's a place that I think about a lot. And having never lived there as an adult and never having to, you know, shell over all of your money for something, you know, bag of groceries or rent. It's just such a magical place that's my childhood home. So I love watching movies that were set in New York City. I don't even care what they're about, as long as I get to see the scenery and kind of revisit neighborhoods and also point out fallacies and how, like, that they couldn't have gone from there to there in 4 minutes, because that's just impossible.
Yeah. So.
I grew up 50 miles north of New York City, and it is the city, but I don't want to ever live there. I think everyone should visit there.
Yes.
But only if you want to live there. So
growing up, did you go to the libraries in New York then?
I sure did. There was a little branch on 79th. I was an Upper East Side kid, which I always wanted to be an Upper West Side kid, but my mom found an apartment in a rent-controlled building on the Upper East Side, which was, you know, at the time, an exorbitant amount to pay in 1975. But then it never went up at all. So we stayed there for quite some time. And yeah, my little branch library, I think, was on 79th. And I'm embarrassed to say, so I checked out a book a while ago, and I was like 11, and I never returned it. When I was graduating from library school, I thought for sure that I was going to walk up to get my diploma, and they would say, you know, thou shalt not pass, because you never returned, you know, the Robert Louis Stevenson book from, you know, 19, whatever, 80.
He still remembers it.
And was that the book?
Kidnapped,
or Treasure Island?
It was Treasure Island.
Excellent.
Yeah.
If you're going to steal a book, then that's...
And do you still have it?
I don't. That's even the worst part. You know, I got lost somewhere along the way, and I just never went back. And that's what I love that we do now in libraries is, you know, we forgive fines, and we, you know, we want you to come back to the library. We'll take care of those things for you. We just... Don't break up at the library because you feel like you did a bad thing, because even librarians do it.
Yeah, I love that.
I choose to believe that somewhere the book was found and it was returned on your behalf.
There you go.
It's possible. And that does happen. We have that happen pretty frequently.
So growing up, were you interested in going into library science, or what was your thought path when you were 11 and checking out Treasure Island?
You know, funny story. I actually have a book that was given to me from, I don't know, some birthday along the way. And I apparently, when I was 8 or 9, made call number labels for all of my books that were on the shelf at home. And they were not correct, by the way. Like, I have the call number does not align with what the book would be categorized as. So I think on some level, I had the desire to be a librarian. I just didn't know that that was a thing that I could be. I thought I wanted to be a detective. So I loved like Quincy, and I love the idea of, you know, solving mysteries. And that's essentially what we get to do as librarians anyways. We're always solving little mysteries, and it's somewhat safer than being a detective.
Somewhat.
Only somewhat.
Somewhat. I like that clarifier.
And Seaside, Oregon.
So what did you think you were going to, besides a detective, what did you think you were going to grow up and be?
So I have a degree in history, which my father thought was a huge waste of time. I'm sure you can relate. And I also have a minor in art history. So I thought I was going to go into museums. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get a master's degree in art history. And then I ended up just moving to D.C. right after college. I went to college in upstate New York in Albany.
SUNY Albany?
SUNY Albany.
All right.
And I moved to D.C. and ended up working with the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Mm-hmm. So that was my... That was where my path was leading me for a while, and that's actually what took me to Colorado, but then I realized that I actually wanted to be a librarian. So
where were you in Colorado, and what were you doing there?
I lived either in Denver or just outside of Denver for the 28 years, and I did everything from historic preservation, and I almost immediately got into library school and started working in libraries. So I was in a school library. I worked at the museum library for an internship at the law library, and I've done a variety of different library jobs, but mm-hmm. love the public library because you just never know what's going to come through the door.
Max still laughing. So what is going to come through the door? Yeah. What are these stories that we are missing out on then?
Oh gosh, you just never know. I mean, it's people, right? Mm-hmm. There's people passing through, people who need to print, people who just need Wi-Fi, people who need the bathroom, mm-hmm. People who are doing research. We have the Seaside Signal in bound paper form, or just folks who are looking for a place to hang out for the day. So
now wait a minute, thinking back. Because we have had a lot of librarians on mm-hmm. the show.
All of them.
Didn't Jimmy work in Denver?
Oh, I don't remember.
I kind of think part of his origin story.
I think there is a Denver connection there.
Yeah.
But I don't recall.
It's just wacky.
Yeah, and he had kind of a circuitous way to get into libraries.
But how did we know that Clatsop County was the centrifuge of librarians?
Because we're an elevated sort of folk here.
It could be.
And it is a very small world. The library world is very... And actually, PLA, the Public Library Association, just met this past week in Columbus. So they all came together, converged upon Columbus.
That's a convention that seems like it would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
What is the oddest question for research purposes that you've been asked to help sort of guide somebody?
Oh, gosh. I should have prepared. Trying to think what's appropriate to say on the radio, because we do get some of those. I do recall, it's probably not the oddest research question, but I had a woman come up to the desk one time and she said, "Do you lead a rich and rewarding life?" And I didn't know where she was going with that. And so I thought, sure, okay, I do. And she said, "So where can I find it?"
Oh.
Apparently it's a title of a book, and just the way she presented it to me was I thought she was asking like a personal question.
Yeah.
We get that. So there's something called like the reference interview and, figuring out what people are actually asking, which is kind of interesting.
So one of my standard questions we ask of every library person, what's your favorite book and why?
Mm-hmm.
And then a follow-up that I just thought of because what you just said, how often are you stumped and never have heard of a book?
I'm sad to say, can I answer the second one first?
Sure, of course.
I'm sad to say that now that I'm further away from doing the, that frontline purchasing of books, I am often stumped on titles, on newer things. But I would have to say, so one of my go-to books, it's a Mary Roach nonfiction. The book is called Stiff, The Curious Lives of Cadavers. And if you have never read Mary Roach, I absolutely would recommend her. She presents science and obviously really weird topics in such an accessible and funny way. So yeah, you read mm-hmm. about what we learn from dead bodies.
How interesting.
Now does she in one of the sections talk about the body farm that...
Yes.
Okay, that's where I thought I learned about this, yes.
Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Alana's not gonna like this, so we should change the subject.
I was gonna say, am I adding this to my reading list or not?
No, 100% no.
Yeah, and you can absolutely skip around. I was traveling with the book, and I had gotten on a flight, and I'm not a very great flyer, and I the beginning of each chapter opens with a little picture of what the chapter might be like. So like the decomposition chapter had the picture of the melting witch.
And this from... is your favorite book? I know.
I'm revealing a lot about myself here. How about one of the top 100? I don't know.
That's awesome, though.
So I turn the page and there's a picture of someone sitting on a plane with the oxygen mask had just dropped down. I thought, you know, I'm not going to read about a plane crash while I'm sitting on a plane.
Let's skip that chapter until later.
So I skipped ahead. Yeah.
That's fun. But,
yeah, I've been around you enough, Alana, to know 100% do not read that
That's not my genre. But libraries do so much more. I mean, you can get so much more than just books now, right? And beyond just media, like CDs and DVDs. What do you love about what Seaside is offering outside of just the books?
Absolutely. So we offer, you can get a ticket to the Maritime Museum. Which is super cool.
Those guys.
Yeah, the other guys. The other guys. And also the aquarium. You can check that out, a pass for the week. We have telescopes that are available for checkout. I think we even have sewing machines, which are pretty fun.
You do have sewing machines.
Yep, we have sewing machines. We have hot spots. So, you know, when I first moved to town, I didn't get my stuff together quickly enough and turn on my internet. So I had to check out a hotspot from the library.
Well, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you've partially or maybe totally answered it, but if you want to add on to anything. So if somebody doesn't want any money going towards libraries because people don't read books anymore, why is the library so important to the community?
Oh, gosh. It is... I think it's great that we are sort of the last place on the planet you can spend all day without having to buy something or believe in something. And oftentimes there are folks who need that. And I spent about 6 months, I call it my fun employment stage. And so it's called between jobs. And, you know, the day stretches on quite long and there's only so much coffee you can purchase and consume in a day. Or one should. And I found myself at the library a lot, and not just because I'm a librarian and I'm looking for a library job, but it's a wonderful place for folks to be able to come together and learn about their community or learn about themselves or explore something new through research.
And there's so many programs. I mean, I did peruse when my kids were babies, the youth or the children's programs at all of the libraries, because you can go to any one of them. But even now, as they're older, I mean, there's Lego Club, there's STEM Club, there's they have their own reading clubs. And this isn't just the Warrenton Library. This is all of them. And so you can kind of pick the one that works for their schedule or your schedule.
Mm-hmm. What's great, too, is you don't even need a library card for those. You can just show up. So, you know, we'll have folks who are visiting for the weekend in Seaside. And, you know, it rains a lot here and maybe they don't want to go to the beach or they've already been to the aquarium. So they come over and hang out at the library for a little bit.
See, that's how I got my library card.
There you go.
In Bend.
So talk about your children's program because you have a children's librarian named
Marion.
Marion the librarian.
And she's adorable, too. She's really sweet. We aren't going to sing about her, though.
Maybe. I'm old enough to know the song, so.
I have had that song sung to me by, I think he was the retired Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Colorado. And it was when I was working for the law library, and I was at a law event, and there were cigars and whiskey involved. And yeah, it was embarrassing.
Any second.
Of course, I'm picturing Robert Preston right now, but that's okay.
It was not.
So talk a little bit about the children's programs, because I think that is one of the most significant things that any library can do and does.
Yeah, we sort of call it our bread and butter. You know, it's our, we have story times Thursday morning. At Seaside, we have the Thursday morning story time at 10:30. It's always themed and very well attended and just a delight. And we also, as you mentioned, Alana, we have the Lego Club on Saturday. And then, of course, summer reading is coming up. Summer will be here before we know it. And we have the kickoff, I believe it is June 1st. And we have programs at all three libraries, Warrenton, Astoria, and Seaside, throughout the summer. So absolutely check out the websites, seasidelibrary.org. I don't know the other ones off the top of my head, but you can get to all of them, I think, from seasidelibrary.org.
You can. And if you are just catching up with us, it's Jennifer Redding, the executive director of the Seaside Public Library, here with us tonight. So what are some things that you have loved doing here in the on the North Coast?
Well, I bought a wetsuit and I got in the water in February, which I would not advise. But I will get back in the water at the end of May, and I'm going to do a surf lesson and then another surf weekend in June. So I may never stand up, but I'm going to get back in the water and paddle around and get in the washing machine, so to speak.
And was that part of the appeal of an ocean beach for you? Was this always something you wanted to do?
No, I had absolutely no intention of ever surfing. But I do love being in the water, and it's just so darn cold. You have to have a wetsuit and, you get tossed around. But I love the hiking out here, and, even went out to Fort Stevens Beach yesterday in spite of, I was literally sandblasted. I was just
so
covered
windy,
in sand.
Yeah.
And yeah, the nature out here is pretty spectacular.
So back to the library a little bit. I assume that your budget is mostly government, but I also assume there's a way to make donations and support a friends group or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a Friends of the Library, and it's very, we have a wonderful book sale in the library itself, and great deals on books. We get really wonderful donations from the community, and even folks passing through wanting to offload whatever they might be traveling with.
And what would you prefer, books or a check?
That is a good question. I think books are great because it's sort of the gift that keeps on giving. And a check donation, I have a library foundation. We're actually hosting an event. We, based on when it's airing, it had just happened on the 20th. But our library foundation is another great way to support the programs that happen at the library.
And how many employees are there, and are there volunteers?
We have 9 staff members, and we are always looking for volunteers who want to help out. We have a variety of different things. We have a woman helping us now who started off shelving, and she's now working on our archives project. But we're always looking for folks to help out with shelving or other small side projects.
And if money were no object, if Bill Gates just came to town and wrote you a blank check, what projects would you want to do? What are some of the dreams? What would keep you here for another 25 years?
I would probably, I love our library space, but I would love to make a vertical evacuation structure in Seaside and put the library and like an outdoor cafe and bar upstairs on the top of it.
I love this vision.
Okay, need to donate a lot of books.
How about just a parking garage? Could you be on the top of a parking garage?
Well, it could also be a parking garage, and then in case of a tsunami, we'd be at the top.
You're at the
vertical evacuation.
And I like the outdoor space thought. Mm-hmm. Yes, because you're right. We are all of our libraries are kind of missing that sort of outdoor venue to be able to do activities.
And we did it in Colorado a lot, but we also had over 300 days of sun in Colorado.
That's true.
And out here, I think it's flip flopped.
So. Right. But when you have those days of sun, you want to
be outside.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate what you're doing. Of course, we love books. And so we love that you and your library staff and the city is helping to make sure that everyone has access to that information. So thank you for that.
Excellent. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.